When people see you, what do you think they see? This may be a question we don't often ask ourselves. It can be answered in many ways. Physically, they may see your hair color, your eye color. One organization explains our genetic DNA like this. Like a miniature library, DNA stores piles of information in extraordinary molecules that specify the details of everything from the shape of flower petals to the color of your eyes. We get these traits from our parents, so others might see your mother or father in you. With regard to personality, sometimes we spend enough time with a good friend that some of our personality traits start to rub off on one another. So someone may see your best friend in you. But more than a family resemblance or more than a resemblance to close friends, we should desire others to see Christ in us. As God's children through faith in Christ, there should be an increasing family resemblance to our Heavenly Father. Our lives should look more and more like our Savior. But how does this happen? It doesn't happen naturally. Naturally, we're born sinful. But after we're converted, we can begin to walk like Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Paul Tauchus teaches from the New Testament book of John, chapter 3, verses 22 to 36. He begins a two-part message about one of the most humble characters in all of Scripture, John the Baptist. John's mission was for people to see Christ rather than himself. His mission was to be like an arrow that pointed to Jesus. By the power of the Spirit, Christians can learn practical action steps to make sure that when people look at them, they see Christ. Pastor Paul's message is titled, Habitually Exalt Christ Over All. We invite you to join us with an open Bible and a ready heart as we together delight in the Word.
Open your Bibles this morning, please, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in chapter 3. We began a sermon series entitled From Garden to Garden. We began in the book of Genesis. We have now made our way through some very significant portions of the Old Testament, and we now come into the New. In John 3, if you'll follow with me, please, as I begin reading in verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Ainon near Salem because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized. For John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, whom stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Now, as we saw last Sunday, the Old Testament closes with a prophecy concerning a different kind of messenger. Malachi, recording the words of God, said, "Behold, I send my messenger." So God was speaking through Malachi, saying, "I am sending you a messenger." This messenger is unique. Then after 400 years of silence from God, the prophecy comes to pass. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus explicitly says that this messenger mentioned in Malachi is John the Baptist. He is an Elijah-like kind of minister of the gospel in that he spoke with great power, he preached a message of repentance, and he suffered some of the same afflictions that the Old Testament prophets did. Ultimately, John lost his head for preaching the word of God. But of John, Jesus said this in Luke 7, "I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." Now, why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus say that there was no one born of women greater than John? Well, I think you'll see in this passage that we'll look at together this morning that fundamentally, John was a man who habitually lived out the truth of Matthew 23, 11, and 12, where Jesus says, "The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." I think that's why Jesus said that there was no one greater than John. More than anything else, what sets John the Baptist apart from all others is that he habitually exalted Christ above all. Therefore, God wants you to see John this morning. He wants you to see Christ through the ministry of John so that you may exalt Christ above all. What we see in this passage is that to be like John, you need to take three action steps. Number one, you must comprehend your role in relation to Christ. If you want to be like John, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom, if you want to be the servant of all, if you want God to lift you up as you humble yourself, then you must comprehend your role in relation to Christ. Now, you may remember from last week that when Malachi foretold of the ministry of John, he said that he would prepare the way before the ultimate messenger, that is the Messiah. In other words, John's primary role given to him by God is to prepare the way for Christ. Jesus referred to John the Baptist as the friend of the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom had one most important role, and that was to prepare the way for the bridegroom and to announce when he had arrived. And so when John comes on the scene, he knows exactly what his role is in relation to Christ. When the fullness of God's time came, according to Galatians 4:4, and he sent his son, John had no problem at all stepping aside because he knew his role in relation to Christ. Notice this in verses 22 through 29. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. Okay, so Jesus is now baptizing, something that previously had been done by John. And so John was also baptizing, and he was baptizing in a certain river near Salem because water was plentiful there, because he baptized by immersion. And the people were coming and being baptized. Now you might say, well, what were they being baptized for? Well, we know from other texts that his message was repent. Repent and be baptized. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. He was announcing that Jesus had come. He was announcing that the Messiah that had been promised for so many millennia to the Jews had now arrived, and that they needed to repent, and all needed to repent and come and be baptized. And so John was identifying himself with the one whom he knew would come after him. And this in parentheses, John just happens to mention John the Apostle, who's writing these words about John the Baptist, is that this took place before John had been put in prison. So then there is this discussion about purification between John's disciples and a Jew. And so a question comes to John saying, what do you think of this guy who's baptizing? What do you think of this guy who's doing your job or taking converts away from you? John says, a person can only receive what he's been given. In other words, this is John's way of acknowledging his role in relation to Christ. His role has been given to him by God, and that is to lay the groundwork for the coming of the Messiah, to announce that he is coming, and then when he does arrive, announce that he is here, and then step out of the way into the shadows so that all the glory and all the light goes to Jesus. He says, you've heard me. You've heard me say this in verse 28. I'm not the Christ. I never said I was. I never would dream of saying I was. I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before him as the friend of the bridegroom, the one who rejoices greatly to hear the bridegroom's voice. And therefore, look at the end of 29. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. What does he mean? He means he has found fulfillment in the role that God gave to him. His God-given role is now complete. He was sent to prepare the way for the Messiah. Messiah has come. He now will get out of the way, and he will suffer for his preaching. He will end up in prison, and his head will be delivered to a young lady on a platter. That was his role, and he was content with that. So he comprehended his role in relation to Christ, which is exactly what the Apostle John had described in the first chapter. If you turn back just a couple pages in your Bible to chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, keep in mind there's two Johns here. Okay, there's the John who's writing these words. That's John the Apostle, the beloved one. And then there's John the Baptist, who is the John who John is talking about. Got it? All right, good. Chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. All right, that's John the Baptist. He came, or John the Baptizer, if you want to be really technical about it. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Okay, so John the Apostle says, here is this man who's come from John, from God. He's sent from God. His name is John. He came as a witness, verse 7. That was John's job. John's role was to be a witness, to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. So his role was to be a conduit for the good news, that others would come to believe in Christ through John's preaching, through John's witness. And in that way, you and I as believers have very much a John the Baptist kind of ministry. We are to be the conduit through whom God delivers his gospel. He delivers his good news to others through us. He was not the light, verse 8, but he came to bear witness about the light. And pick it up in verse 19. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" Okay, so they come, they ask John the Baptist, "Who are you?" And he says, he confessed and did not deny, it says in verse 20, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, I'm not. "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Now, the reason they asked if he was Elijah is because they knew the prophecy of Malachi 3 and 4 that there would be coming another Elijah. And John is fitting the bill. And so they say, "Are you Elijah?" Well, John is not Elijah in the sense that he's the same man in the Old Testament, but he is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Elijah. He said, "This is what I am. What do you say about yourself?" This is what he says, verse 23. "I am the voice. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." So not only did Malachi prophesy of John's ministry, but John is now saying that Isaiah did as well. And that he would be a voice, a lone voice, crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord. Get ready, repent. Get ready, the Messiah has come." They asked him, verse 25, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John was greatly used by God because he understood his role in relation to Christ. And his role in relation to Christ is above all. I am a mere servant given a task by God, and I'm not even worthy to untie the sandals of the one whom I have prepared the way for. That is the first step to exalting Christ over all, in your heart, in your mind, in your life. You must comprehend what your role is in relation to Christ. Like John, you are not the Christ, but you are a messenger of Christ. You are a conduit through whom God is preaching the gospel. He is leading others to Christ through your ministry, through your faithful proclamation of Christ. So comprehend your role in relation to Christ. Number two, notice there's a second action. This is found in verse 30. Choose to lift up Christ and lower yourself. You need to consciously choose this. This is a moment by moment, day by day choice to exalt Christ and not to exalt yourself, but to lower yourself. John was a Christ-exalting kind of man. And we see that in the verses that we looked at. He said, "I'm not even worthy to untie the sandals of this one whom I speak of." But you see the motto of John's life in verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. What does he mean by that? Well, All this while, John has had this ministry of preparing the way for Jesus, preparing the way for Jesus, telling the people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And now he has arrived. And now he has. Now that he has arrived, John is saying, the one of whom I am the witness of is here. He must increase and I must decrease. He must be lifted up and I must get out of the way. That's humility. John was not a glory seeker. Instead, he intentionally looked for ways to be obscured so that all could be made of Christ. He intentionally moved to the background so that Christ could move into the foreground. He deflected attention away from himself to Christ. I don't know if you've ever heard a storytelling preacher. What I mean by a storytelling preacher is I don't mean a preacher who tells stories in order to open up the window to make the light of the word come out. I'm talking about a storytelling preacher where that's all you hear are stories. Story after story after story. And the strange thing about it is that he always happens to be the hero of his own stories. I remember hearing a preacher like this many years ago in Kansas City, and I just left the church service thinking, the man's a great storyteller, but I don't know that I would ever call him a preacher of the Word of God. Because every story was about himself. And there was so little of Christ. And we should ask ourselves, how do we witness to people? How do we share Christ with others? Is it about us or is it about Christ? I'm not saying we never use ourselves as illustrations. I'm never saying we don't even use ourselves as a positive illustration in the sense that the Apostle Paul did when he said, follow me as I follow Christ. But oh my, that ought to be just occasionally. We ought to be talking so much about Christ and so little about ourselves. He is to be lifted up. And this is part of what made John who he was, but it's part of how he decreased so that Christ would increase. He modeled the exhortation that we receive from the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. When that was read between some of the songs we sang this morning, I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't know that. That was in my notes already. And how the Lord wants us to get that message this morning. The Holy Spirit so providentially oversees the planning of our worship services. I'm just amazed every Sunday. And how he gets the message to us that he wants to get to us. And today the message is he wants us to be exalting Christ. And we'll never exalt Christ if we don't have humility of mind. If we think we are big stuff, then why would we talk about Christ being above all? He is above all.
Thanks for listening. The testimony of John the Baptist is amazing, isn't it? How humble of a man he was that his total desire was to decrease his own importance and magnify Christ. He wanted people not to make much of him, but to make much of Jesus Christ. That's an example worth emulating. His attitude is well captured in this stanza from the hymn, May the Mind of Christ My Savior. Listen to the humility of these words. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget the channel, seeing only him. May this be the prayer of our hearts as well. If you'd like to listen again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org, or you can find the program where you listen to your podcasts. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live near Cleveland and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. We invite you to join us again next time as we conclude Pastor Paul's two-part message titled Habitually Exalt Christ Over All. Here's a little of what we'll hear next time.
Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the eternal creator. Nothing was made without him. He is the eternal word. So when Genesis 1 says that God spoke and all came into being, God spoke through the eternal word, the Son of God. And he now has come, and in him is life, and he is the light of men. But the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it, can't overcome it. Many in the darkness don't even believe it. Later on, it says in verse 11 that he came unto his own, and his own people did not even receive him.
We look forward to taking a closer look at the person and work of Jesus. May the Lord bless you until next time as we together delight in the Word.